Well, praise the Lord. Well, I'm really excited with what's going on so far in the revival. It's exactly what God said. And what I'm really excited about is what is yet to do. You know, it's awesome how God works. It's awesome how he puts things together. You know, the Bible says your gifts and callings are without repentance. In other words, God can gift you whenever he calls you. And if he's finished with you, you know, if you've messed up, he's finished you. You still have your gifts. You can still prophesy. You can still lay hands on the sick and this and that and the other. I don't ever want to go there. I know every time I was messing up, I'd say, God, I'm not going to do anything. I had everybody preach for me and minister to people because I don't want a gift operating when I'm not right. And I just felt led to tell some of you that, and somebody in here that tonight, maybe one or two or three, four of you, that unless you're operating in anointing of the Spirit, I wouldn't do nothing. All right. And as I was there during praise and worship, God was dealing with me that if he's called you into to do something, if you quit, get your hands out of it and quit trying to get ahead of God, it's going to work. But as long as you're trying to make it work, it's not going to work. You should never struggle with your ministry that God's given you. Have you had to struggle with your ministry? Yeah. Say, you know, from the day that God called me, I never worried about who was going to be in the church. I never worried if we had singers. I never worried about nothing because it's God's church. And if he called me to do it, I didn't want to do it, but he called me to do it. And I said, God, then you have to take care of it. He just has always taken care of me. I've just never worried whether, you know, I've had people say, I had a praise and worship team that was really good. And they decided they were going to sit me down. And they were going to become the pastor and they were going to take over. Well, I told them, no, they couldn't do that. And so they said, we're going to leave and you're going to fall. I said, you know, God, you didn't call me, and I'm not going to fall just because you leave. Well, they left and they fell, and we're still here. And that's happened four or five times to me. People come in, you know, and I get them right where God wants them to be. You know, I minister to them and work with them, and then God gets them started in their ministry, and all of a sudden they think they're higher than I am, and they want to take over the church, and they leave, and they say I'll fall, but I'm still standing. So what I'm saying that because I'm quite sure this is why God's had me saying that, is if God has called you into a ministry, he's going to keep that ministry. All right? And he's going to supply the monies. He's going to supply everything. All you have to do is surrender to him totally and completely. And just, all right, sometimes, you know, the monies weren't here to pay the bills. It's all right, God, you know. It's the first of the month is here. The fifth of the month is here. The tenth of the month is here. And the money's not here. And the landlord wants his rent. I'm not going to fuss about it. I'm not going to worry about it. It's your church. And next thing you know, here comes the monies, pays all the bills. We've always paid all of our bills every month. And I'm just here to tell you that if you'll just trust God, he's going to take care of the ministry that he's put you into. All right? And, you know, if you're looking for people to promote your, let's say, your books that you're writing, then you're looking in the wrong direction. Your eyes should be on God. He's the one that's anointed you to write, and he's the one that's going to sell the books. Now, if you've written books, and I don't know why I'm on this, but if you've written books and you're messing up, they're not going to sell. You might sell 3, 4, 5, but God wanted you to sell 50. You see what I'm saying? So if you decide you're going to step over the reins a little bit and do things your way or not do things, sit down and not do things, then God's not, he's not going to bless you at all. All right? You know, when God asked me to marry Pastor Larry, I said, God, what's going to happen to the church? Because we were packed out. Not, there wasn't a seat anywhere that wasn't taken. We had to add seats every night. He said, well, when you announce that you're going to get married, half the people will leave. And when you get married, you'll have a handful left. So that's how I got married, knowing I was going to lose everything, all right? He said, but as you stay faithful, I'll grow the church up again. Now he's grown the church up, and then they drop. He grows the church up, and then they drop. But he's going to grow the church up, and it's going to stay real soon, like. I didn't fret. Even though we went down to a handful, we always had, the bills were always paid because God would just supernaturally send me a check in some way, shape, or form. So I'm just giving you that. I don't know why God's had me tell you this because he started working with me on my chair. But you have to know that it's not you that's doing the ministry, that it's God. You just had to be the vessel that he chose. And don't think you were all that and then some, because he chose you. He knows what you have in you and that you can do the work, but you can mess it all up and lose everything. You might get prideful. And that you'll lose everything. You always have to remember that God is in total and complete control. And what you have to be doing is constantly seeking God's face and what he wants you to do. Not begging, pleading, and telling, this is what I want now. You make it happen. It doesn't work that way. You have to seek God's face and say, God, it's your church. It's your ministry, whatever it is. And you do what you want to do in it. Amen. I'm excited. And God told me when I started, he said, I'm going to send ministers into you and you're going to train them. They're going to go forth and do great things for me. Well, I thought he meant ministers. What he meant was, and then I was going to have to work, get your diapers off and this and that and the other, so you could grow up and mature and grow up and then go out and be the minister. But he said, I'm going to send ministers in. In other words, when you came in, the minister anointing was already on you. And then he had to work with you to get you built up where you can go forth and do the works he wants you to do. Now, I have seen something else. Now, Sister Mary's doing fine, so this isn't that you at all, Mary. But I've seen something else. God will anoint you in a special way, and he'll set you up in your ministry. Then you go crazy. You go nuts on him. You start doing all kind of crazy stuff. Why do you do that? I see that all the time. Quit being crazy. Just get out there. All right, so you're anointed. God's using you. And just let him use you. Don't ask somebody else, how should I do this? They don't know how you should do this. Because God's the one that called you. They didn't call you, right? God called you. And he's the one that knows how you should be doing things. That's for somebody, a couple of you in here, I know. It's more than one. You need to abide under the shadow. I'm hearing God say, you need to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Take his hand and let him lead you. You're trying to get him to follow you. This is what he's telling me. And he wants to lead you, and you follow him. All right? He's called me to do many revivals after I got married. And I said, how are they going to work out? He said, nobody's going to come. He says, it's just going to be, whoever's here. Nobody else is going to come. And I think we had one revival where we played Katie Sousa's tapes for the whole revival. And just a few of us came. But God said, you be obedient. You might open up a Women's Aglow one Saturday and nobody shows up except you and whoever's with you. You just go ahead and carry on like you have the house full. Remember Kenneth Copeland? He said that he went and was invited. No, he went and rented a big auditorium. And he had this message all prepared. And when he got there, only one man showed up in this great, big, huge auditorium. So he gave that one man everything he had. And he said, God moved mightily on that one man. But he didn't stop it. He was faithful. I remember one time here in Dover, somebody invited me to the church. And when I went, they forgot. So it was just me and the pastor and Linnell. So I gave Linnell everything I had. And he got saved that night. So, but what would you have done? Would you have turned, I'm not going to stay here and do this. I know Pastor said, if I can't pastor to 100, I don't want to pastor to 50. Then y'all following God. Come on. I want y'all to remember this night because this is coming from God. God says some of you have a fast streak in you. And you get ahead of him, and then you fizzle out and blame him because it didn't work. You don't blame God for anything. If he called you, he equips you, and he will be with you. All right? All right, let's get into tonight's service. Father God, I thank you and I praise you tonight. I thank you that you gave the people what you gave them so far. I thank you, Father God, that these people here, they came, they want to sit at your table and eat fresh manna from heaven. I thank you, Father God, that your word is just and amen, and it is a sure word. And Father God, that your anointing is already in this place. And Father God, that the anointing is on the word, and you will do exactly what you want to do with this message tonight. And Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there are six reasons that all roads don't lead to heaven. All right? There are many who believe that Jesus is not the only way to heaven. Many who call themselves Christians want to think that all good people, no matter what they believe, go to heaven. But what did Jesus say? See, and I have a lot of people tell me, well, I'm a good person. They don't want to become born again. I'm a good person. I've never done anything wrong, and I know I'm on my way to heaven, all right? I don't know if they are or not, if God, you know, God doesn't tell me. But this is why I'm doing this teaching. Well, God had me do it, but I know it's because you need to understand this. All right, what did Jesus say? Jesus said to him in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You have to go to the Father through Jesus. A lot of good people don't believe Jesus is. And therefore, where are they going to end up at? Because the Word of God, you just read what it said. Many other passages affirm the same teaching. For example, Peter made the truth abundantly clear in Acts 4:12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Romans 10 makes it clear that to be saved, people must hear the gospel and believe. Romans 10:13-15. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? You know, if they don't hear about Jesus, they can't call on him, right? That one young man I brought into my home, he said he never heard the word Jesus all till he walked into our house and heard us talk about Jesus and the miracles he does. And he thought, what are these people talking about? 20-some years old and never heard the name Jesus. Right here in America. Amen. And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Now it says, and how are they to preach unless they are sent? All right. God is sending a lot of you in here tonight out into that dark, dark world. And you're going to have to understand that God sent you and he's equipped you and he wants to do a mighty work through you. Oh, by the way, anybody older than I am, I just read where the old guys are being revived and rejuvenated and God's using them mightily once again. So I got all excited. He's been telling us that, right? And I was thinking the ones that sat here and said, you wouldn't believe that. And they left because because they were 90 some years old. They just couldn't believe God could use them. God kept telling them, I'm going to use you. And I don't care how old you are. God is going to use you. Just have to trust him. Everybody that God wants to use is going through a whole lot of junk, right? All right. So despite the clear teaching of these passages that we just read, people still want to believe that all roads lead to heaven. Therefore, I would like us to look at six reasons why all roads don't lead to heaven. Number one, the supreme ruler of the universe says clearly that Jesus is the only way. Scripture does not indicate any other way. It tells us clearly that faith in Christ is the only way to heaven. As the creator of the universe and supreme authority, God makes the rules, not you and I. His word is the final word on this subject. If we reject biblical teaching, we in effect try to write our own scripture that says what we want it to say. The result is a confusing array of your Bible, my Bible, his Bible, her Bible, and millions of other people's Bibles. By this, we try to make ourselves gods, and that's a big mistake. Remember the preacher I told you about, he burned everybody's Bible, so he's going to write his own Bible, because he didn't like the word Holy Ghost, and he didn't think God would ever put Holy Ghost in the Bible, so he's going to rewrite his own Bible. He's not the only one that does that. Over the ages, many people have done that. That's why you see all these different Bibles out there. We humans are incredibly underqualified for the job of our Almighty God. Amen. And some of you have found that out, haven't you? You should go out there and minister and try to do it the way you think it should be done. John 3:7-19 says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil." Isn't that what's going on right now? The darkness is in the world, and the world is loving the darkness more than the light. Number two, if all roads lead to heaven, then Christianity is not meaningful. If we reject Scripture and believe that by simply being good people, we can go to heaven, then we totally undermine Christianity. Believing other roads can lead to heaven rejects the sacrifice of Christ on the cross for our sins, rejects the Bible, rejects the need to share our faith, and rejects the need for worldwide Christian missions. The Bible tells us God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, not Buddha, not Muhammad, Confucius, or any other. He sent Jesus Christ of Nazareth. As I was reading that, it came to me about my first husband. He used to always say, "How do you know there's a God? How do you know that what you're doing is right? What are you going to do if whenever you die, you find out you were a good person and it was for nothing, that there really isn't a heaven, there really isn't a hell?" And I just kept telling him, "I know that it's true. And I know that God is real. I know that Jesus is real. I know hell is real. Heaven's real." We were married 45 years. He never got saved. But after he divorced me, he got saved. He's out there telling him, "See, I didn't back down. I know everything's real. I can't prove it. I don't even try to prove it. I just know it is." So why try to prove? Why do you try to get people to believe the Bible? Don't even give them the word. God said, "You're trying to get people saved, and you can't get them saved. Just give them the word, and let them do with the word whatever they want to do with it." All right. I was talking to somebody. The phone rang the other day, and I picked it up. And I have this young man in my home, and this lady said, "Is he home?" And I said, "No, he isn't. Not right now." And found out it was his mother. And see, and she said, "I live in Texas, and I'm just trying to wish him happy birthday." And so we go, you know, and I was talking about Jesus is and Jesus that, you know, and I don't know why I was even doing it, because I never do that. And I said, "He's in the hands of God." So I said, "He's going to be just fine." And here I found out that she didn't believe in Jesus. But, you know, this is, and I thought, I never talk like that. And I was just talking about Jesus and God, you know, being saved and on and on and on. And she said, "Well, would you just please keep in contact with me and tell me how my son's doing?" I said, "Sure." But see how God worked that out? She might go get saved now. I don't know. But this is a young man I was talking about in my home and never heard the word Jesus all his life. So, but you see, you just don't know. And I was on her just gibby-gapping, you know, I don't usually gibby-gap either. You know, I just say what I have to say and get off. And I was just talking and going on. That was God. And you know, anybody in the house could answer that phone, but I did. And I, you know, and God wanted her to hear about Jesus. Now, that might have sparked a little thing in there, you know. Now, she just might think about that. Well, okay, there was my son who was a drug addict, and he's going to church, and he's talking about God. Somebody gave him a Bible, was reading the Bible. She might look it up and see what it's all about. She might start a Bible study in her home for all we know, right? Come on, you don't know what God's going to do with you. Okay. Where am I at, Matthew? Jesus said in Matthew 7:14, "But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Now, I want to comment on that, because when I first started church in my home, I was ministering to my praise and worship leader, and I said to her, I said, "Wide is the road." I thought, why did I say that it says narrow in the Bible? And so after we was all done, because she knows the word too, you know, and I said, I don't know why God said wide. She said, I don't either, because it says narrow. We looked up and sure enough, it says that. And God said, once you give your heart to me, it's wide. It's wide open. Because you trust me, you want to do what's right. He said, but until you come to that point, it's narrow. And you know, we walk this thing out by faith. But once you get in there, once you go through that door, you're going to have everything at your hands. And God is so wonderful because God knows you're not going to backslide. Isn't that wonderful? See, he doesn't talk wrong. I thought I must not have heard something right here. All right, number three. If all roads lead to heaven, all true believers in Christ are fools. Tens of thousands of martyrs have died for the belief that Jesus is the only way. But if other roads can lead to heaven, those people were absolute fools, as were the apostles and as was Jesus himself. Scripture says Christ died a horrible death on the cross in our place for our sins to pay our penalty and allow us to enter heaven, something we could not do for ourselves. Right? So if you believe other roads lead to heaven, by implication, you call Jesus a fool, a fake, and even a liar. 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, once, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. He did all that just so he could bring us to Christ, to God. Amen. He paid a price to win souls. How many of you are paying a price to win souls? Are you still hung up on yourself? You know, your ifs and whats and whens and hows and all that kind of stuff. Don't worry about all that stuff. God called you. God equipped you. God's sending you out. God's sending you forth. Amen. And God will do the work. You know, I have a pastor friend who I know. He always says, why do you keep them doors open? You don't even have very many people come in there. I said, you just don't know how many people come through those doors. They might not all be here at one time, but there's a lot of people come through those doors from a lot of places. You know, they travel. They don't do that to their church. And I said, I'm doing the work of the Father. I'm teaching. God sends them, and you don't never come here just by chance. You come in here because God has something he wants to give, to implant within you. And he wants to start your ministry right then and there. Amen. I don't care how many people are sitting in here. I'm not getting paid at all. And I'm definitely not getting paid by the heads. All right. You know, if you're Baptist Methodist, you get paid by how many heads you have in the sanctuary, you know. But that doesn't happen here. We're just here because the Spirit of God has said so. And because souls need what God gives us here. Amen. Yeah, I do brag every now and then because of what God does. Because he's awesome, isn't he? Isn't he awesome? Come on. I'm trying to think what his name is. What's that laughing preacher? Yeah, Rodney Howard Brown told me, I was down and I went to his church one time. He said, Barbara, if you'll move down here, I'll open up a church. I'll give you a church. He said, and you would keep it packed out, and you would really prosper down here. He said, Delaware won't prosper there. I said, no, I can't do that. See, I had a pastor. He had a big church as well. He was going to put me in a big church. And he said, I know it'll fill up because I know your anointing. I said, no, I can't leave Dover. He said, why don't you want to leave there? I said, somebody has to stay for the lost souls. Dover's going to bust wide open really soon. And then they're going to be wanting to come here and say, oh, you know, but we've been plowing through and plowing through and plowing through. And, you know, you might be doing that in the area you're at. You might be the plow. I remember when I first got born again, I was in this church. And every time they gave an altar call, God, the Holy Spirit would take me up there. And I'd be kneeling there and say, God, they're going to think I'm the biggest sinner around. He says, somebody has to lead my people, and you are the one that's going to lead my people. But anyhow, I would go up there, and then everybody back there would come up too. And the pastor said they would never come to the altar. And people were getting saved. You know? So somebody has to lead. Why not you? Why not you? Amen? That same pastor said I was a devil and told her not to come around me once she kicked me out. But still and all, she knows. You know, they knew. They watched as I went up there. And I was up there crying sometimes. I said, God, I shouldn't even be up there. I'm not a sinner. Because they were calling people who wanted to repent to the altar, you know. But you're a leader. You're going to lead my people. That's what it was all about. So don't fuss about what God's calling you to do. Don't worry about what people are saying about you. Just go ahead and let God use you. That's all it's about, being used. Oh, that's my place. Number four, is that where I'm at? Number four, believing all roads lead to heaven disregards God's holiness and the purity of heaven. We've all made mistakes, which the Bible calls sin, and sin separates us from God. How many of you said, boy, I thank God they're not going to be in heaven because I want to get out of this mess and I want to get up in heaven where there is no mess, right? Haven't you said that or thought, well, I do anyhow. Thank God when I go to heaven if I make it, because, you know, we don't know. That's not a sure thing. We don't know. We have to work it out. Thank God if I go to heaven, I won't have to put up with all this darkness that's down here, right? Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So anybody sitting in here, you're not all that and then some, because the Bible said, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sin, no matter how small, is intolerable to God and incompatible with heaven. All right? Any sin would ruin heaven, for the essence of heaven is a pure essence, it's a pure presence of God and the absence of all sin, evil, and the resulting suffering. That's what makes heaven heavenly. To introduce any impurity into heaven destroys it. Let's read that again. Any sin would ruin heaven, for the essence of heaven is the pure presence of God and the absence of all sin, evil, and the resulting suffering. That's what makes heaven heavenly. To introduce any impurity into heaven destroys it. So unless you get rid of your sin, I don't want you in heaven with me. Amen. As I get enough, don't you get enough of the darkness down here? Don't you sometimes want to pull your hair out and go stick it in the mud somewhere and forget you've seen everything that's around about you? You know? Habakkuk 1:13, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. He's talking about God. Habakkuk said, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Jesus said on the cross, why have you forsaken me? Because God couldn't look at all that sin that he was carrying right before he died. Right? Jesus, who is God the Son, is the only one who could die for our sins and pay the price to bring us to heaven. No matter how good we may be, we have all done wrongs or sins. Come on. A sin is a sin is a sin. Those sins cannot be in heaven. We must be forgiven by being born again through Christ. We must be forgiven by being born again through Christ. And John 3:1 says, there was a man named Nicodemus, one of the Pharisees. He was an important Jewish leader. One night he came to Jesus and said, teacher, we know that you are a teacher sent from God. No one can do these miraculous signs that you do unless they have God's help. See that? You can't do a miracle without God's help. So you need to be walking in the Spirit. The devil will help you. The devil will. He'll come and perform a miracle and make you believe that God's doing it. And then he has you. From that point on, he'll keep using you. So what I said that for is because you got to get cleaned up before you go out there wanting signs, wonders, and miracles to happen. Jesus answered, I assure you, everyone must be born again. Anyone who is not born again cannot be in God's kingdom. Nicodemus said, how can a man who is already old be born again? Can he go back into his mother's womb and be born a second time? Jesus answered, believe me when I say that everyone must be born from water and the Spirit. Anyone who is not born from water and the Spirit cannot enter God's kingdom. I was, you know, as I was typing this scripture, I thought about some of the people that's been up and we've baptized and how the glory of God fell on them. They went out, the Spirit flowed around the pool, and they even said they saw angels. And they're all messed up now. And that was just a year ago, maybe, or two. I thought, what happened? You know, God did a wonderful thing when you was baptized. What happened? How did you lose all that? You know, it's because you didn't stay with God. And you just let the devil use your mind and pull you away from the things of God. And then he just stole everything you received. Some people say to me, can I get baptized again? I said, yep. And I'll hold you under a little bit longer. You know, you know, because it messed up. Well, God told me, he said, I'm going to put your head in the river and I'm going to stand on you and keep you there till you drowned. And that's what he did. So if he can do that, I can do that. No, I wouldn't do that. But what I'm saying is I would love to have you come and get re-dipped. And we'd be really praying and fasting. We always do anyhow, but praying and fasting and really believe for a baptism that would not go away, you know, that would stick, that would really stick. All right, verse 6. The only life people get from their human parents is physically. But the new life that the Spirit gives a person is spiritual. Don't be surprised that I told you, you must be born again. This is Jesus speaking. The wind blows wherever it wants to. You hear it, but you don't know where it is coming from or where it is going. It is the same with everyone who is born from the Spirit. Nicodemus asked, how is all this possible? Jesus said, you are an important teacher of Israel, and you still don't understand these things? You see, the most wisest people around, and they're stupid when it comes to God, right? The truth is, we talk about what we know. We tell about what we have seen, but you people don't accept what we tell you. I have told you about things here on earth, but you do not believe me, so I'm sure you will not believe me if I tell you about heavenly things. Isn't that true? Know-it-alls? You know? Who are you to try to tell me about who God is, right? The only one who has ever gone up to heaven is the one who came down from heaven, which is the Son of Man. Moses lifted up the snake in the desert. It is the same with the Son of Man. He must be lifted up also. Well, the two is what the Word Bible says. Then everyone who believes in him can have eternal life. Yes, God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son. Why? So that everyone who believes in him would not be lost but have eternal life. You can believe in God and still not accept him. You know that, don't you? I mean, Jesus, not accept him. God sent his Son into the world. He did not send him to judge the world guilty, but to save the world through him. People who believe in God's Son are not judged guilty, but people who do not believe are already judged. And this is scripture we're reading. Because they have not believed in God's only Son. They are judged by this fact. The light has come into the world, but they did not want light. They wanted darkness because they were doing evil things. Everyone who does evil hates the light. They will not come to the light, because the light will show all the bad things they have done. But anyone who follows the true way comes to the light. Then the light will show that whatever they have done was done through God. All right? That's scripture. You know, I'm not saying that. Number 5, believing all roads lead to heaven mocks God's justice. Scripture teaches that God is completely just. Deuteronomy 32:4, the Lord is a mighty rock and he never does wrong. God can always be trusted to bring justice into your life. No child or teenager fully understands his or her parents' ways. They question, complain, and rebel. In the same, we might not understand all God's ways. No human being can. We are too far beneath him to understand. To us, it might not seem fair that Jesus is the only way, yet that is a clear teaching of Scripture. It is foolish to accuse God of being unjust and reject this clear teaching as unfair. All right? Number 6, believing all roads lead to heaven rejects God's inconceivable love. Scripture says clearly that God is love, and 1 John 4:8. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God. You need to see the world. I found out the world doesn't know the difference between lust and love. They really don't. All right, the person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love, so you can't know him if you don't love. Do we think we are more loving than God and therefore must deny his word and say that all roads lead to heaven? In fact, God made the greatest sacrifice for love in Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God's inexpressible love causes him to desperately desire and wait patiently for everyone to be saved, including you. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness, impatient people. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. My question to you tonight is, have you responded to Jesus' love and become born again, given yourself over to God? Brother Christopher, do you have those papers? Did you bring them? Would you pass them out? I'm just going to, real quickly, we're going to go over what does it mean to be born again. And I had Brother Christopher run this off for you. So in case you're talking to somebody about being born again, right, there's all the scriptures that tells them why they should be born again. All right. Now, do you all understand there's only one road to God? One road to heaven, not six. There's only one road, and that's Jesus Christ. Or I should say one way. All right. Yes, Grace, please put your glasses on. She went like this here, and I thought, what is she doing? Oh, did he make it real small? He does that to save paper. See, I sent it to him size 14, you know, big black ruler. Everything caps. I said, you probably have to put it down regular, but this is the way I do it. Everybody have one? Marion, which color of her, doesn't have one. Do you feel the excitement in the air, people? Do you feel that the atmosphere is just electricity all through the atmosphere? God is already doing something great and mighty in the atmosphere. He's going to drop it on us when we least expect it. You wait and see. You might be driving down the road. I hope you have your drunk license with you. You know, you could be in a grocery store and all of a sudden the Spirit come upon you. Brother Allen said today at work he couldn't even hardly stand. The anointing hit him so hard last night it was still with him all day. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. All right? Everybody have one now? All right, what does it mean to be born again? The Bible's answer. The term born again refers to a new beginning in the relationship between God and the person who is born again. All right? The term born again refers to a new beginning in the relationship between God and the person who is born again. A new beginning. All right, then I want to go. I'm not going to read all this. This is for you. I'm going to go over to, wherever it's at on your page. Why is a person born again? Do you find that? Why is a person born again? And Jesus said in John 3:3, unless anyone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So being born again prepares a person to rule with Christ in God's kingdom. This kingdom rules from heaven. So the Bible describes the new birth as providing an inheritance that is reserved in the heavens. All right. Now, see, I want you to take this with you and just use it whenever you need to talk to somebody about being born again. Now go on wherever you're at. How is a person born again? I'm not going to read all these scriptures, but how is a person born again? Did you find that? All right. When Jesus discussed the subject, he said that those born again would be born from water and spirit. And John 3:5 says, Jesus answered, believe me when I say that everyone must be born from water and the spirit. Anyone who is not born from water and the spirit cannot enter God's kingdom. Now, this expression refers to baptism in water, followed by baptism with the Holy Spirit. And this is what we try to do whenever we're up there in the pool baptizing people. We want them to get this baptism in the Holy Spirit. And it has been happening. And people were speaking in tongues and everything and just out in the spirit floating around in the water. So that's that. Now go over to where it says Jesus was the first person to be born again. You find that? Jesus was the first person to be born again. He was baptized in the Jordan River, after which God anointed or baptized him with the Holy Spirit. Jesus was thus born again as a spiritual son of God with the hope of returning to life in heaven. All right, now go over to where it says others who are born again. It's right close to the end. Others who are born again. Did you find it? Others who are born again are also baptized in water before they receive the Holy Spirit. Others who are born again are also baptized in water before they receive the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to read all that. Let's read Acts 2:38. Right, that's the scripture right below that. Peter said to them, change your hearts and lives and be baptized. See, everybody that confesses that they received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior needs to be baptized, according to Peter here, right? Each one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Then God will forgive your sins and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to become born again before he forgives you of your sins. This promise is for you. It is also for your children and for the people who are far away. It is for everyone the Lord our God calls to himself. Peter warned them with many other words. He begged them, save yourselves from the evil of the people who live now. Then those who accepted what Peter said were baptized. On that day, about 3,000 people were added to the group of believers. Then they had the sure hope of life in heaven, which God will fulfill in the resurrection. You find that in 1 Corinthians. And that's all I'm going to read. You know, you can go home. Okay, on the last page, on the bottom page, it says, the expression born again can also be rendered born from above, confirming that the selection of those who are born again comes from above or from God. And John 3:3 said, I assure you, everyone must be born again. Anyone who is not born again cannot be in God's kingdom. So, this is a very important thing for you all to know when you're out there ministering with people. They have to be born again and baptized. You know, then you get in, well, who do we get? What name do we get baptized in? Get out of here. Read the Bible. It's right there. That upsets me. People argue about the dumbest things, don't they? I don't get into those type of things. It says right there in the Word, name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we do. All right. We dip you three times. And when you come up, we hope you're resurrected from your old self into a new self. All right. So you know there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus. Anybody thinks it can go any other way, they cannot. I went and researched, and I had about a 22-page teaching. I thought, no, I can't give that. I got to cut this down a little bit. But it was a really good teaching. You know, I might give the whole thing in entirety after the revival. But, you know, if we understand what the Bible's saying, then we know what we're doing when we go out into the dark, dark world, and we can tell people what the truth is. Mary said she didn't know anything from a stick when she come in here, right? But look, at 3 years, she's out there working for God already, and signs, wonders, and miracles happening, helping with deliverance. I think that's neat when somebody comes in totally blind to what God can do and how God can work, and then he speaks to you and all that stuff. And then, I shouldn't have said stuff, you know, all that those miracle things. And then being out there working for God. So what's your excuse? Now, Regina, when you was ordained, didn't he do something special in your ordination? He did something special, didn't he? Yeah. And so if she messes up, she deserved to be put in shackles. Now, I mean it, because she was ordained in a special way. God did a special thing for her. And when God does something special for you, I think you need to really serve him with all your heart. I mean, I was ordained in a special way, too, and I wouldn't do anything to really hurt God. And if I think I'm not right, I just sit down. I don't do it. You know, I just don't preach. I don't lay hands, and I don't prophesy, because I'm not going to disgrace my Father. Get myself right and go on again. And this is what you need to do. Don't be out there disgracing your Father. Be a light. Be like the Son Jesus. And don't be wanting to be seen. I know, you know, people come here, they want to hear me preach, they want me to prophesy over them, and I'm trying to sort of break that that thing, you know, and I want them not to look at me. I want them to continue to look to Jesus. And you know, so I use other people, but then they get this disgusted. They say, I'm not coming because I don't know who's going to preach. And, you know, but I'm just trying to get you to say, look to Jesus. He's the author and finisher of everything. And, you know, and God will anoint and you the people, and you will get exactly what he wants you to get. Are you understanding this? And when you're out there, don't try to get people to say, oh, look who's coming through the door. When I was out on the road, when Larry and I was out on the road, they would say, the prophet's in town. And, you know, and you know, they just come from everywhere because the prophet was in town. And God used me in a mighty way in the prophetic. He would, not just a prophet, but he would say personal things in their life that they knew. That was God. See, just prophecy wasn't making it. But he would tell me to ask them questions about their personal life that nobody knew. And then when he had me do that, boy, that opened up their eyes. And they really listened. And they received. And they were changed. Now I want to tell you leaders in here tonight that when you go out, even in your own church, please don't discourage anybody. You know, when I was on the road a lot of the pastors would get jealous. That's a shame that people are like that. Don't have me in if you're going to get jealous of what God uses me to do. You had me in because you knew he did that. And the pastor would say, don't believe a word she said because she's of the devil. It just tore down. And then this one man, he was a town alcoholic. Granted, he was. Remember him, hon? And, you know, and God spoke wonderful words over him. And the pastor of that church said, that'll never happen. Then she had a couple of her little deacon people say, nah, he's a drunk. God can never use him. The man committed suicide a month later. When they go to heaven, I would be sort of afraid to stand before God because that man was so excited that God was going to use him, clean him up and use him. But they kept him. That wasn't God. That was just her. He's never going to, you're never going to amount to anything. He committed suicide. Don't be one of those. If you know you're a destroyer, then don't go out there and do anything in the name of Jesus, because God didn't call you. When you minister to people, you minister to them with love and compassion, and you don't go behind a pastor or a prophet or whatever, evangelist, whatever, and tear down what God has done, just because he didn't use you to do it. Why did you bring an evangelist in if you wanted him to use you? And a lot of these ministers that we ministered in their churches were mightily anointed to God, but every one of them got jealous. I really think they were being tested, and they failed the test. All right? Come on. Remember the story I told you where I was in this one church, and they had me in there quite often. It was in Pennsylvania, and God said, I want you to turn around and face the wall. So I did during praise the Lord. I faced the wall and praised the wall. And the pastor got up and talked to me, how come you turned your back on the people? Well, that's what God told me to do. But God moved in a mighty way that night. It was obedience, and then that pastor was being tested too. And he got all upset because I did that. And see, I never really liked to sit in the front row. I don't know why I'd like to sit in the back. I don't like to sit here in the front row. And they all want me to sit up front. And I said, if you don't mind, I'd like to sit back here. And then they all look at me and say, how come she wants to sit in the back? I don't know why I do that. I think that's God. I don't know. But you know what? You see an awful lot back there. And God starts showing you things about the people that you're going to be ministering to when you're sitting back there. When you're sitting up here, you can't see nothing. But when you sit back there, he starts pointing things out and starts telling you what to do. So why do you want to sit up in the honored seat? All right? I've had pastor get mad at me because I went set up on the pulpit. I said, I really don't like to do that. Thank you. Then they think you have two heads. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And if you have pride, then you're not even going to find that one way. I don't care if you do say you're born again. If you're full of pride, then something happened along the way, or you didn't get dunked properly. Something happened. Because if you really are born again and you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, then your life changed totally and completely. All right? I said the other day, I said, I was upset with my kids. Right now, I'd go to hell. If God struck me, I'd go to hell right now. God, I got to go somewhere and get baptized again, get this mess off of me. I know when I'm not right. Don't you know when you're not right? Come on. If you don't know when you're not right, well, then you don't deserve to be out there preaching. You need to lead people. If you want to lead people, then you need to know when you're not right. And you need to be honest about yourself. Quit trying to act like you're more something you're not. Come on. All right, the altar's being opened right now. Father God, I just thank you and I praise you. I really don't know what you want me to do here tonight. God said he wants to baptize you with water and fire tonight. So if you want to baptize in water and fire, you come up here. His anointing's going to touch you. And, you know, I want to tell you as you're coming that, you know, I love water fountains out in my yard. And I think Larry, he got them all. But anyhow, God really impressed upon me this year that I had to have all my water fountains out and running. And I didn't know why, but I told Larry, we didn't get them all out last year. They all have to come out. And then I read a prophetic word where God spoke to this person and said, I want you all to be around the water. I want you to be in the water. So the water is important. And that's why he's going to baptize you in fire and in water tonight. Those two elements in God are very important right now.